Wake County school leaders are preparing for the next school year with security top of mind. We talk one-on-one with the district superintendent about addressing school safety. Then, a suspect is charged in the murder of a 14-year-old boy. We speak with the victim's mother, who also lost her husband just last year.
Raleigh-based First Citizens Bank is taking control of the biggest bank to fail since the 2008 financial crisis. What that means for this bank's customers here and why tech companies in the Triangle could benefit from this.
When spotty showers move in hour by hour and how chilly it's about to feel.
Now we start with the latest from the heartbreaking story out of Nashville, Tennessee tonight. Six people, including three children, were shot and killed today. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. This is video of the scene at Covenant School as authorities piece together the timeline of this devastating mass shooting. Tonight we have live team coverage starting with WRL's Mark Boyle in the Live Center. Mark.
Deborah, we are waiting for the possibility of the release of video from inside the school. Nashville police talking about that late this afternoon. The brand new information coming out. The exact time frame and how all of this unfolded late this afternoon. Here's the police chief just a short time ago.
It was five officers that immediately went in and addressed. We have video that we're going to release, but you can see in the video, you can hear gunfire going on as they're in the school. They address the threat and take that threat down.
She entered on the lower floor. There were shots fired on the lower floor before she went to the upper level. And it was on the upper level where she was confronted by police and killed.
And the whole time frame here from the first 911 call to the moment that the shooter was killed, 28-year-old Audrey Hale, was 14 minutes. Back to you.
Mark, thank you. Of course, today's tragedy in Nashville also comes as local school leaders in Wake County met in preparation for the next school year. And new tonight, Aaron Thomas spoke one-on-one with the school district superintendent discussing school security issues. Aaron.
Yeah, Dan, keep in mind, this is the first time we've heard from Superintendent Caddy Moore after a series of lockdowns and social media threats that happened earlier this year. And then just today, we had that officer-involved shooting that was near Ligon Middle School in Raleigh. Well, tonight she's here with the Board of Education as well as county commissioners with Wake County. Let's give you a look at what's going on right now. She actually just finished up those remarks within the past 5 minutes or so. This joint meeting takes place every year, and both groups discuss how to best spend your tax dollars. Now, notably absent from the list of priorities for Wake schools was physical security upgrades. Now, we do know that school board members are weighing safety recommendations as we speak. And school safety is top of mind for several local families. And I did ask Superintendent Moore one-on-one what this looks like and if it's something that families can expect in the upcoming budget proposal. How much is school security and safety? Is that a priority in this budget at all?
School security and safety has been a priority ongoing priority. As you know, we are working through the recommendations of a security audit that was done by a national consulting firm. There are also, of course, reminders on a daily basis that we need to continue to take a look at that.
And be sure to stay with us on our late news beginning at 10 on Fox 50. We go one-on-one. That conversation continues, and I ask what some of those security options could look like for the state's largest school district.
Right.
Dan?
Let's get into the specifics tonight, Aaron. Thank you so much. Live for us in Wake County. We are tracking some rain on the radar as we take a live look at the dual Doppler 5000.
Some storms popped up a little earlier. Those have now moved out. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Kat?
Just a few showers left at this hour, Deborah, but still some activity on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. One shower right on the Harnett County, Wake County line. Moving to the east, we also have one small shower headed for northern Hoke County. We're not going to see a whole lot of activity for the remainder of the evening. Futurecast does show a few spotty showers that could continue through about 10 o'clock tonight. After that, the rain will be fizzling out, and we are expecting some drier air to move in temporarily. If it felt a little humid out there today, it was, but we've got some drier and cooler air that moves in behind this front, and then another wave of rain on the way tomorrow night. I'll track the hours when our next round of rain will arrive coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you. This is 14-year-old Bernard Williams. The Wilson County Sheriff's Office says his body was found in a ditch yesterday morning near Landfill Road, and they're investigating his death as a homicide. Breaking within the last hour, investigators say they arrested this man, 19-year-old Rasheem Battle, charging him with first-degree murder in the teen's death. WREL's Kenan Willard is near the scene where Williams was found, and Kenan, you spoke with the boy's mother tonight.
I did. And Deborah, you can imagine how emotional that conversation would be with a young mother who just lost her 14-year-old son. But that's before you understand the whole story. You see, Crystal Harris told me that her son never came home on Saturday night. And the next morning on Facebook, she saw that a body had been found by investigators right here on this stretch of Landfill Road. She decided to send her daughter out to this stretch of road, fearing the worst. And that's how their family found out about this tragic loss.
He won't be able to ever go to prom. No, I never see him get married or have his first child.
Bernard Williams's mother can't stop thinking about the nevers, the future that won't be possible, just a day after he seemed capable of anything.
He was sweet. He knew a lot of people. He was friendly. He made friends easily. He was a jokester. He loved to clown and make jokes, give you little nicknames and peek with you.
Then came Sunday morning. His mother says Williams, nicknamed Tank Man, never came home that night. At a crowded crime scene 2 miles away, they soon found out why. Williams had been found dead in a ditch on Landfill Road, the sheriff's office opening a homicide investigation. Tonight, investigators confirmed they arrested 19-year-old Rasheem Battle for first-degree murder in Williams' death, holding him without bond.
Why me? I just lost his dad 7 months ago. So I was back in the same situation again. So I was just wondering why would somebody do this to my son? He wasn't a bad child.
The sheriff's office hasn't named a cause of death, and the family's waiting on the results of an autopsy in the coming days to find out what happened. It'll take much longer for this loss to feel real.
It was very loved, and I just couldn't see anybody wanting to harm him. Just remember my baby as, you know, a loving person. He was sweet. Just keep us in prayer, that's all I can say.
You could feel the emotion just pouring out of her with every word she spoke about her now deceased son. They're going to try and give Williams a proper send-off in this same area on Thursday evening with a balloon release and a candlelight vigil. We're expecting to be out there that night. Back to you.
Kenan Willard, live in Wilson. Thank you, Kenan.
Two officers are now on administrative leave after they shot and killed a suspect this morning in Raleigh. It happened near Ligon Middle School. Raleigh police were called out just before 7 a.m. for shots being fired into occupied cars. The school went into code yellow lockdown for a short time. Teachers inside were many of those who were making 911 calls. Police say a suspect made his way near Cumberland and Hightower Street, where he fired at least 5 shots at officers. Police returned fire, killing him.
The preliminary investigation indicates that during this quickly evolving incident, the subject fired shots hitting 2 vehicles that were occupied and 2 police vehicles while the officers were close to them.
The man who was killed has not been identified. The SBI and Raleigh police are conducting investigations, though. Police did have on their body cameras.
The North Carolina Zoo will return to normal hours tomorrow after a bomb threat today forced hundreds of people to evacuate. Wake County middle schoolers were among the more than 1,300 visitors there this morning. Investigators did not find anything suspicious and gave the all clear right around 3 p.m. The Randolph County Sheriff's Office says a juvenile suspect was behind the threat and a petition will be filed.
Raleigh-based First Citizens Bank is buying the failed Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, of course, collapsing earlier this month after customers pulled billions of dollars out during a run on the bank. This acquisition now sent First Citizens stock soaring, up more than $300 a share today. WRL's Matt Tallhelm tells us what this deal means for customers here in the Triangle.
First Citizens Bank says this acquisition affirms its commitment to support the integrity of our nation's banking system. First Citizens doubled its assets with this deal. This bank is now worth $219 billion.
Raleigh-based First Citizens Bank is rising on the collapse of California's Silicon Valley Bank.
They're buying to be a major player in the national banking scene.
First Citizens has a history of buying up failed banks to expand in recent years.
That's been part of their business model, and they've been successful. And I think what it illustrates is they have a team of people that knows how to kind of look for these diamonds in the rough, let's call them.
Silicon Valley Bank was the 16th largest in the country with a focus on the tech industry. First Citizens CEO told investors about the acquisition, "We see great promise in extending to the venture and tech spaces in Silicon Valley, building on the expertise and experience we've developed through years of supporting North Carolina's own innovative hub, the Research Triangle Park."
It can do nothing but improve the standing of this region and the state with potential customers of all stripes, but in particular those that are in the early stage or tech arena.
NC Tech Association President Brooks Rayford says companies in the Triangle stand to benefit from having a bank closer to home.
Many of the companies that either were already doing business with Silicon Valley Bank or would be drawn to the kinds of services that sort of bank tends to offer now have it available widely in this community. So I think it absolutely is a boon to our area.
First Citizens has a loss sharing agreement with the government to protect itself from possible credit losses. The bank says customers here shouldn't notice any difference in how they bank. Matt Talhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Tonight, Medicaid expansion is closer to reality in North Carolina. This afternoon, Governor Roy Cooper signed the legislation into law at the Executive Mansion. Medicaid coverage cannot expand until state lawmakers agree to a budget plan. That's because the bill is tied to the budget. State lawmakers hope to pass it this summer. President Biden will make a stop in the Triangle tomorrow to kick off his Investing in America tour. The president will tour Wolfspeed in Durham. The semiconductor manufacturer recently announced a $5 billion investment in Chatham County to build a new plant. It's set to bring about 1,800 new jobs. WRAL's Matt Talhelm and Sarah Kruger will provide live team coverage of the president's visit.
Tomorrow, another step toward legalizing mobile sports betting in our state. Of course, not everyone agrees with it. You're going to hear from some groups trying to stop the legislation from advancing. Plus, a great white shark swimming off the North Carolina coast, where it came to the surface over the weekend. Coming up.
New scams are targeting Camp Lejeune Marines and their families. WRAL has told you Marines exposed to toxic water on base now have the ability to sue for compensation for health issues. The Better Business Bureau warns that scammers are emailing and calling veterans, telling them they can get cash quick. Be wary of links in those emails. They can put malware on your computer or your phone, and don't give away personal information or pay any upfront filing fees in exchange for fast payment. Well, if you're driving through the northeastern part of North Carolina, you may notice some smoke. Drivers have reported seeing and smelling smoke from the Last Resort fire burning in Terrell County. Smoke has been reported in Terrell, Hartford, Gates, Currituck, and Camden counties. The DOT is telling people to be careful while driving. They say it's best to slow down, use low beam lights, and leave enough distance between you and the cars in front of you. The NC Forest Service says the Last Resort fire covers 5,200 acres. They've been able to contain that, but they say the fire is only 45% contained after about an hour. That's up to about an hour ago, Dan.
A lot of work to be done. Mobile sports gambling in North Carolina could move a big step closer to being legal this week, but not everyone thinks it's a good bet for the state. WRAL Sports investigative reporter Brian Murphy talked to those trying to stop the measure again.
We desert values for money. What a shame. What a darn shame.
That's Representative Abe Jones, a Raleigh Democrat and one of the lawmakers against a measure to legalize sports gambling in North Carolina. He and other opponents are warning that legalization could have disastrous consequences.
Crime, theft, embezzlement, job loss, in the home, divorce, child abuse, substance abuse, and even suicide.
States that have legalized sports gambling have seen an increase in problem gambling, and young men have been most impacted, says Les Burnell, the director of Stop Predatory Gambling, a D.C.-based group.
It's out of control because you're not a sports fan anymore unless you have money on the game.
Supporters of legalization point to betting that is already happening and the revenue North Carolina is losing to other states and offshore. Opponents say the amount of gambling will definitely increase.
It's inevitable that the more that gambling is legalized, the more that it's advertised, the more citizens are going to gamble.
A similar effort failed in the House by a single vote last year. Opponents are hopeful they can convince enough lawmakers to thwart this year's effort as well.
People understand what's at stake on this. I do think this bill can fail, and it should fail because it has no merit.
Brian Murphy, WRAL.
A House vote is expected on Tuesday.
A great white shark is swimming off of North Carolina's Outer Banks. It's a 13-foot, more than 1,400-pound adult male shark named Breton. Marine research group OSearch tagged the shark in 2020 and now tracks its movements. This weekend, Breton's tracker pinged near the Pamlico Sound, which means the shark came to the surface. A couple of other white sharks also pinged near that same area this weekend. So as it warms up, just be careful when you put your toe in the water. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Boy, it's kind of a nice evening now after quite a past 24 hours that we've had.
Yep, temperatures warmed up today. We were back in the 70s. Luckily, water temperatures of the coast still in the 50s, so nobody's getting in the water just yet. But here at home, we saw a few thunderstorms roll through the western part of our viewing area. Those have started to die down. Just a few showers left. And for most of us, it's dry right now with temperatures in the low to mid 70s, really making for a nice evening. If you want to head out for a walk this evening, 74 degrees in Rocky Mount, 75 at the WRAL Durham Newsroom. You can actually see some folks enjoying dinner sitting outside. A really nice evening for that. And then at the WRAL Fayetteville Newsroom, 72 degrees this evening. A little cooler in Fayetteville, actually, right now. We do have a front that is passing by. It's still moving through the area. Once that front clears your town, the chance for rain is over tonight. So it's just a small chance for the next couple of hours. Overnight, we're expecting dry weather. I don't think you're going to be hearing any rumbles of thunder late at night during the overnight hours or anything like that for the next few nights. So good news, if you do have children or pets that are scared of thunderstorms, our evening storms are dying down. We do have rain returning tomorrow night. It's fairly widespread, could be a bit of a soaking for us, but we're not likely to hear thunder or see lightning with that round. Toward the end of the week, we'll keep an eye on that round. It could come Friday night into Saturday. Right now, about a 30% chance for rain, so not a total washout the way it looks right now. Still some differences on timing, so just don't lock in any weekend plans or indoor backup plans yet. We'll have to be patient and keep monitoring the forecast over the next couple of days. Future cast for tomorrow morning, nice and dry start to your day. No issues. Kids can head to school without their umbrellas tomorrow. It's once we get past sunset tomorrow night that we could see a few showers return. Even 8 o'clock, though, still not that wet. I think we'll begin to see a round of more widespread showers move in after 10 o'clock. It's fairly light rain. There could be a few more pockets of moderate rain, but it's a steady rain that could move in and continue overnight. By 5 a.m., the bulk of the rain may be to our east, and we clear out and dry out throughout the day on Wednesday after some morning clouds, but we are expecting the commute to be dry Wednesday morning. We need this rain. Anytime we can get a nice, healthy, widespread dose of rain that's not too heavy to cause any flooding issues, no thunder and lightning to cause any threats, we'll take it. Over the past 30 days, when you look at the percent of normal rainfall that we've seen, pretty much the entire state is in the orange and the yellow, which means below normal rainfall. But we're talking about 60% of the normal rainfall that we should have this time of year. So we almost need double what we've seen to be considered normal in terms of the rain. We'll take the rain tomorrow night, but during the day, you're good to go. Nice and dry weather during the daytime hours. Once we get to Thursday and really later in the day, Wednesday, we'll see a lot more sunshine by then. A little dip in temperatures behind today's front, 60s for highs, even 40 Thursday morning. But by Thursday, Friday, we're back in the 70s. 78 degrees, the high for Friday, the Durham Bulls home opener. Saturday, we're even back in the 80s. Once we get to Sunday, it's looking pretty good for Dreamville. 67 degrees out there, Deborah and Dan.
Good thing it's a two-day festival. Right. That way, at least one day will be nice out there. Thanks, Kat.
And this weekend, Dix Park is transforming for that Dreamville festival. The city has a plan to prepare for this sold-out event. What they're going to be doing about security, traffic, and bathrooms, of course, after the break.
Well, for the first time, the Dreamville Festival has completely sold out. But first, we're going to tell you about this beautiful sunset happening at Carolina Beach. Boy, doesn't that look it just looks like the perfect place to spend the end of Monday. Yes. Whew, like that. Yes. And Dreamville, they're getting ready out there. It's completely sold out, and they are ready for all of those folks to show up.
It's going to be a huge crowd in a few days, roughly 50,000 fans flooding Dix Park, hoping to see the biggest names, headliners like Usher and Drake, and of course, North Carolina native J. Cole. The Tourism Bureau says it's expecting the festival to bring roughly $7.8 million in economic impact for the area this year. In anticipation for these large crowds, though, RPD says it's beefing up security. It's increasing law enforcement presence there. On top of that, organizers say they've expanded the box office and the capabilities of the entrances.
To see it year over year, and then over the hurdles that we've dealt with COVID and hurricanes and everything, and still see this festival come back stronger and stronger every year is pretty awesome to see.
It's true. It grows each year, and organizers say there will be more Uber and Lyft drop-off and pickup locations, and they've nearly doubled the number of shuttle buses from downtown parking locations. Officials are highly encouraging festival goers to text Dreamville to 888-777. That way they can receive any festival emergency alerts.
They've learned a few lessons amongst the years, so they're ready for it this year.
John Mayer will be bringing his solo acoustic arena tour to North Carolina this fall.
He will perform at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte October 23rd. Tickets for the show go on sale Friday at 9 a.m. The tour is 20 years in the making, with performances spotlighting Mayer's acoustic guitar work with special performances on piano and electric guitar.
20 years for John Mayer? Yeah, that makes me feel old.
I know, right? Well, the Wake County Animal Center is making it their mission to keep an unlikely duo together.
Meet Cinnamon the goat and Felix the dog. They play together, they eat together, they even sleep together. They came to the shelter earlier this month because their owners can no longer afford to care for them. Staff now searching for a rescue partner to keep this bonded pair together. So they're not available right now for public adoptions, but if they can't find a rescue by Friday, they will revisit some other adoption options. So if you have room for those two, I'm sure they're a good time. Yeah. Thanks for being with us tonight.
See you at 10 and 11. Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.